Arkansas's prison population is on the rise and projected to keep growing in the coming years. Also, a record surge of families applied for education freedom accounts as the program expands statewide. And Arkansas's only ferry is getting new federal funding to keep service moving on Bull Shoals Lake. Those headlines and more coming up on KASU News for Wednesday, August 20th, 2025. I'm Brandon Tabor. Arkansas's prison population is on an upward trajectory. That's according to a report by analyst Wendy Ware of CGL Companies, a company specializing in planning, designing, and maintaining criminal justice facilities. According to Ware, the inmate population in Arkansas showed an average annual growth of 2.4% between 2010 and 2023. Since the COVID-19 pandemic of 2021, Ware said the population has been growing on average by 5% per year. Numbers published by the Arkansas Democrat Gazette indicate the state's prison population was just over 16,000 in 2010 and was up to just under 20,000 in 2024. Ware said Arkansas is 17th in prison population growth across the nation. She estimates the state will see a 2% average growth through 2035. This school year, a surge of families applied for Arkansas's education freedom accounts. Member station Little Rock Public Radio's Josie Lenora has more.
The EFA program gives families taxpayer-funded dollars to go to a private or religious school or homeschool. The voucher is almost $7,000. It's the bulk and perhaps the most controversial part of Arkansas Learns, a massive education bill championed by Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders in 2023. This school year is the first where applications were open to everyone in the state. Previous years only gave out money to students who fit certain criteria. The Arkansas Advocate reports a record of more than 50,000 applications, with the deadline being last Friday. More than half the money goes to families whose children are already in a private school. A large number of applications have been approved, over 44,000, though approvals are made on a rolling basis based on criteria like a student's disability. Almost 16,000 EFA vouchers go to homeschool families. The EFA program will cost the state millions. Detractors say it takes money away from public schools and gives it to kids who don't need it. Supporters say the system is more efficient. The money follows the child. In Little Rock, I'm Josie Lenora.
A new report finds room for improvement in sex education in Arkansas. The report by Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families found that less than a third of school districts in the state offer at least a moderately comprehensive sex education curriculum. Nicole Carey is the nonprofit's education policy director. She told member station Little Rock Public Radio that certain criteria must be met for sex education to be considered comprehensive.
That is medically accurate, age appropriate information given in a variety of topics that have to do with this overarching umbrella of sex education. So it's healthy relationships, it's the sexual reproduction and development, it's consent, it's abstinence, it's sexual abuse, it's all of these topics together.
Arkansas currently does not have a statewide requirement for sex education to be taught in schools. Carey says a lack of sex ed correlates with higher teen birth rates, for which Arkansas is currently the second highest in the nation.
There's cost on the healthcare side. There's obviously an additional cost to if kids aren't completing their high school or any other type of GED program. There's a cost to the community in that way of lost wages and that type of thing. And so I think that's definitely a piece of it and a piece of something maybe communities don't realize.
Carey says the nonprofit is convening a working group to discuss what policies are needed to bolster sex education across Arkansas. The full report is available online at aradvocates.org. The Arkansas Department of Human Services officially has a new leader. Janet Mann was sworn in as the department's secretary on Monday after being confirmed by the state Senate late last week. Mann succeeds Christy Putnam, who stepped down in July. Mann will also continue to serve as the state's Medicaid director. Next, Missouri names a new attorney general. We'll have more after the break.
I'm KASU station manager Mark Smith. Like many small rural stations across the country, congressional action to eliminate funding for public media sends KASU and all public radio into an uncharted future. But we remain certain about our mission and our commitment to you and to our community. You can help through contributing at kasu.org/give. As we navigate the path ahead, your continued partnership and financial support is crucial. We're grateful for you. Thank you.
Former U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway has been appointed as Missouri's next Attorney General. She takes over from Andrew Bailey, who is leaving for a position with the FBI. Hanaway emphasized a tough-on-crime approach as her appointment was announced yesterday by Republican Governor Mike Keogh. She has a long political background in Missouri. Hanaway led the Republican takeover of the Missouri House in the 2002 elections and served as the first woman House Speaker. She was appointed in 2005 by President George W. Bush to serve as U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri. She held that position for 4 years. Former Supreme Allied Commander Europe of NATO, General Wesley Clark, spoke in Little Rock on Monday as part of the Arkansas Times lecture series. Member station Little Rock Public Radio reports that Clark said threats coming from Russia, China, and their burgeoning alliances have placed American exceptionalism at risk.
Part of it's our own choice. We're the ones who didn't prepare our nuclear deterrent and let it lapse. We're the ones who didn't keep up with China's military buildup. We're the ones in a democracy who couldn't face the reality of a changing international power equation. Now we see it in threats of a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, and we see it in the ongoing conflict in Ukraine.
Clark asserted that no American president has had an effective strategy for dealing with Russian President Vladimir Putin. He criticized President Trump's approach to the ongoing war in Ukraine, saying the president should do more to uphold traditional American values on the global stage.
The president has the idea that somehow you can't be effective in ending the conflict if you are not neutral to the conflict. But I think a lot of Americans might be disturbed by the fact that we don't hear more discussion about freedom and democracy when this conflict is talked about.
Clark served in the U.S. military between 1966 and 2000 and launched an unsuccessful Democratic presidential bid in 2004. A Republican candidate is seeking to unseat a Central Arkansas state lawmaker. Mark Brannan says he's seeking the Republican nomination to represent District 56 in the Arkansas House of Representatives. Democratic Conway Representative Steve Maggi currently holds the seat. A longtime Central Arkansas lawmaker says she's not running for re-election. Republican State Representative Julie Mayberry says she won't seek another term representing House District 92. Mayberry was first elected to the legislature in 2015. Her district represents East End, Sheridan, and other mainly rural communities directly south of Little Rock. Sheridan firefighter Eric Shepard is running for the Republican nomination for the seat. The city of Memphis plans to finalize its purchase of the Sheridan Hotel next month. The $30 million deal aims to renovate the city's largest hotel, which sits near the Renaissance Convention Center. City officials say the hotel's poor condition has driven conventions away. The city hopes to finalize the purchase by September 15th. The federal government is giving Arkansas an infusion of cash to improve ferry service. Arkansas will receive about $204,000, its share of $175 million in funding nationwide from the U.S. Department of Transportation. Arkansas's only ferry, the Peel Ferry in Peel, Arkansas, carries passengers and vehicles across Bull Shoals Lake near the Missouri border. In Major League Baseball, last night, Tyler Sagacy went 3-for-4 and scored 2 runs. Ivan Herrera had 3 RBIs, and the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Miami Marlins 7-4. That's all for KASU News. Music provided by 2B Studio. You can find more stories online at kasu.org. Also, be sure to like, subscribe, and turn on notifications for KASU News on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. In Jonesboro, I'm Brandon Tabor, KASU News.